I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew, the 26th chapter. A portion of God's word that I consider all of it is wonderful. And as I say so often, which part of God's word is the most important for you? It's what you need right now. I found that to be true. But the Bible tells us in the 26th chapter of Matthew, verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Can you believe that? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor with you always, but you don't have me always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Listen to this one now from the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said unto them, what would you give me? What would you give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. I'd like to give a title to this message of how to be used by God. I ministered to the men yesterday, and we really, I believe, stayed with the strong theme of God uses men. And Dr. Vaughn has a book on God Needs Your Body, or is it a chapter in your book? Chapter. Jesus needs a body. And it's amazing that as powerful as God is, as powerful as Jesus is, powerful as the Holy Spirit is, that heaven still needs your body. They say, why doesn't God just do it alone? No, God uses people. He created people to have fellowship with them. He created everything by the word of his power. And as you think about it, in the world in which we live today, why there are so many problems in the world is that people are not listening to God. And people are not living for God. People are not teaching their families or their children about God. We're raising a generation that too many of them know virtually nothing about church. And what they do know is negative. And certainly not a positive. Well, we'll not go in that direction, but the thing that I do want to bring to our thinking and our attention this morning is God needs you. There's not one person in this room. You say, well, he could get along with that. I'm sure he could. Sure. He'll find someone else. But his first desire is to use you. Sure, he can go to Africa or India or Canada or anywhere in the world and find someone else. But God desires to use you. And life is more than just working a 40-hour a week job or whatever hours you may work. Life is more than just getting an education. Life is more than just winning a ball game. Life is more than just being able to travel the world or do whatever. And those are nice things and enjoyable things to do. But the greatest thing in the world is to be used by God. The greatest thing in the world is to be sitting at a well when everyone else has gone to lunch, and a woman comes by that needs God, and minister to her, and lead her in the ways of righteousness. And then that woman goes into the city and brings God knows how many people from that city out to hear Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus, a song we used to sing. The only mistake in that song is all we need is a glimpse of Him. We need more than a glimpse of Jesus. We need a face-to-face confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see Him as He really is and understand Him in all that He has provided for us. As I go through this story, there was a woman, and something was in her heart. Something was in her heart, and she responded to that, and God responded to her. You know, the thing that I want to just bring to us this morning, again, if I could just, I may be simplistic, I may be repetitious this morning. God needs you. Now, we referred to Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, where the Bible said that I sought for a man. I sought for a man. And we'll take it and let's go not only man, but to women here today also. Isn't that strange that God, who knows all things, is seeking something? I mean, what is there that God can't find? What is there that God cannot discover? What is there that God, in this vast universe that He has created, cannot immediately find that and identify with that? But the Bible said He sought. He sought for a human being. On this occasion, He sought for a man to stand in the hedge and to make up the gap. And God uses men and God uses women. I made reference to South Africa. I'll never forget being in South Africa. And of course, they've had their share of internal problems over the years, the last few years. And you could never forget the rock fences, high rock fences that surround any house of any value, and the cut glass that's inserted in the concrete and the stones, and the Doberman or the some other dog of his bark can bring a little chill to someone's heart that would be trying to burglarize or whatever. Every home is that has any value whatsoever, where I was in that particular part of South Africa, had these big fences, cut glass on the top, and had some mean dogs on the inside. And yet they get through all of that somehow because there's a lot of theft that was going on then. They tell me it's some better now. I don't know. I haven't been there in some time. I saw fences that kept people out. And what God is saying, I sought for a man that would build and be a fence that would keep things out that should be out and would protect things that need to be protected. But you know, it's not just men, it's women. God's searching for families, for husbands and wives. It's a beautiful thing to see a husband and wife serving God together. I grew up with Christian parents, and Joy grew up with Christian parents. And we were so blessed to have that type of beginning and throughout our lives. And until they went on to be with Jesus, we had that example before us. But ladies and gentlemen, God's not only looking for men. God's looking for women. God's looking for young people, because there's a reference in the Bible, at least some three times I'm aware of, a young man. That phrase, a young man. And you see, the gospel is not for old folks. It's not just for young folks. It's not just for young married folks. The gospel is for everyone. Everyone needs to be born again. Everyone needs the power of the Holy Spirit in their life to live the life that is pleasing to God and that has helped build a nation that has lasted, what, some 240 odd years in freedom. There's a reason America is still free today, even though we're threatened on every hand. It's because of the righteous beginning, the righteous foundation. God found men that could put a constitution together. God found men that could begin the beginning of this nation on principles, for the most part, that were founded on the Word of God. And America, I still champion the thought. I believe with all my heart. We may have a lot of challenges, but I still believe America is basically a Christian nation. You know why? Because I'm still here. I'm still here. You're still here. And we believe God. And it's in God we trust. And thank God it's still on our currency. So God was seeking for something. And God helped us to just have a wonderful time with our men yesterday. Thank God for men. Thank God for men. I remember the family telling the story of Joy's grandfather, who's sort of a gruff person and nice person, honest person, but just a little gruff in his nature. And one day, he decided to go to church, do something once at least. And it was on that occasion that he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And the next time that the family gathered after that particular church service, he called all the family. He said, before we eat a bite of food from this moment on, we will thank God for our food. And they said it started to change the entire family. You see, one person standing up, one stand-up man and one stand-up woman, one stand-up young person like a Daniel or a Joseph or a David before Goliath, one person who decides to do the right thing can rechart the course of a nation or a community. Too many things have gotten by in greater Fort Worth lately, and our educational situation needs to be turned around. We've gone awry, we've gone amiss, and somehow the town fathers either wink at it or they don't see very well anymore. I'm calling righteousness for greater Fort Worth. And if you got something through the mail, I trust that you'll give a righteous answer to it about our decisions that our schools are making. And I'm not going any further on that one, but you do what God tells you to do. Speak up for righteousness while you can speak up. Amen. Stand up for righteousness while you can do it. And God will bless you for that. God will bless you for that. But one grandfather deciding, we pray from this day forward, began to change a family. And it affected, of course, even my wife and all of the family as the children came along. God's looking for, God is seeking for men. God is seeking for women. God is seeking for young people who will not be intimidated by the media, who will not be intimidated by videos, who will not be intimidated by Hollywood, who will not be intimidated by the ungodly teaching institutions, universities of our day and time. Amen. God is seeking for that. Well, how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference? How can I be used of God? Let me give you just some simple guidelines. You'll say, well, that's too simple. No, it's not. First of all, you need to be born again. You need to know Jesus personally. It's amazing. Very few churches give people the opportunity to honest to God accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You couldn't help but notice that we give altar calls right out of praise and worship here in our church. I just got tired of people trying to come to the altar and people trying to beat the other people out to the cafeteria in a traffic jam when you're trying to give an altar call. Amen. And thank God we've seen more people come to Jesus since we do it that way. I'm not saying that's doctrine, and it depends on who's ministering and how they feel led of God. But I'm telling you, when I was downtown, in our downtown location, the former First Baptist Church there, and we weren't seeing, all of a sudden, we just had not seen some people coming to the Lord. I started to answer my own altar call there for a while. It was just lonesome, you understand. And one morning, God said, give an altar call right out of praise and worship. I said, God, we don't do it that way. Aren't we smart, you know? Trying to instruct God on how we do things in His house, you know. You know, that's not the religious way you do it, evangelical way we do it. We always wait till the last moment, you know. And that's okay. However it works, just go for whatever works. But I'll never forget the third time God gave me a nudge, and I don't like God's fourth nudge. Whoa, I've learned that one the hard way. I stood up, gave an altar call, and 25 people responded to the altar call that morning. I said, God, I believe you're up to something. You know, God's pretty sharp, isn't he? He's been hanging out for a long time, and he has all the wisdom of the universe, and he knows what to do and when to do and how to do it. And what he says to men and women, boys and girls, it still works. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. Be born again. That's the first step to being used by God. It's amazing how many people are in church that really have not had a born again experience. It's hard to find people out soul winning that really know where they're going to spend eternity. Even those that attend evangelical churches. And I keep listening for altar calls that really, you know, a salesman's not a salesman unless you can close the deal. I mean, would you keep a bunch of salesmen around who talked about buying your product but never sold anything? Why, no. A salesperson is a successful salesperson, whether it's real estate or department store or whatever it may be, because they know how to close the deal. And, oh, God, help us to be deal closers in all we do. So in a godly way, we give an altar call at memorial services. We give an altar call at weddings. You say, you're a fanatic, Bob Nichols. Thank you. I receive that gladly. Amen. I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus preacher. And I believe that there's no life outside of Him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All right, let me give these insights. How can I be used of God? Start where you are. Well, I'm going to wait until I retire, or I'm going to wait until I'm older, or I'm going to wait until I do this, or I'm going to... Start right now where you are. Wherever you are, start today. Brother Charlie mentions when he first came in and God changed his life that I mentioned in tithing. I mean, some preachers preach tithing in condemnation. That's not the way we preach it here. But I said, just start where you are today. I've met so many people who said, oh, if I could just do all the back payments. Forget it, honey. That doesn't work on sin. It doesn't work on tithe either. You'd be in hock the rest of your life. Start where you are. Start obeying God right now. Start where you are. Well, where else do you go? Use what you have. Every one of us have something we can use for God. There is some way that you can be used of God. There was a man on the streets of New York several years ago. He went about with what they call a sandwich sign, they used to call it. It's kind of like an A-frame. There's a message on the front and there's a message on the other side of the sign behind you. And on the front of the sign, out in busy lunch hour, he'd walk up and down the busy streets of New York City saying, I'm a fool for Christ. And everyone just, you know, they just had a big laugh out of that. And on the back of the sign, it said, whose fool are you? And then a couple of scriptures about salvation. Well, you say that's kind of crude. It's better than nothing. I said, it's better than nothing. Amen. It's like the young man that went away to a summer camp and he came back. He said, I got no persecution for being a believer. And they said, well, how did that work? He said, I never told anybody I was a believer. Do something lest you do nothing. Amen. Just a few days we'll be speaking for Brother Wayne Myers, his 95th birthday. Missionary statesman to the land of Mexico. And what a blessing he's been. But that's one of his favorite statements. Do something lest you do nothing. Do something. So start where you are. Use what you have. Let me just give you a little opener here for a tip. You know, whenever someone complains, ask them if you can pray for them. If the headache's bad enough, they'll let you pray. If the sorrow is genuine enough, they'll be glad someone wanted to pray with them. I mean, if the pain is deep and if the trial is difficult, or if the marriage is really meaningful to them that seems to be in under contest, they'll let you pray. And of course, that prayer can lead on to a salvation prayer, and you always want to take their hand when you pray for them, and that's the last mistake they made, because you hold on. And you give them, no, in God's love, you give them the plan of salvation and then pray for them. And but anyway, there's a way to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. I was in a barber shop up here on Sylvania when I was just beginning in the ministry, and a man sitting in a chair down there, someone asked him a question, and he roared out, GD. And you know, they used to put a little cape around you in the barber shop. You know, I guess they still do. But anyway, and I just pulled the cape off, and I ran up, and I said, man, thank you for praying. Boy, he stuttered, and I mean, I thought he was going to have a coronary. He said, I didn't pray. I said, yeah, you just prayed for God to damn somebody. Boy, it got kind of quiet. I'll never forget that witness, and he won't either. The barber told me he was always meek as a lamb any other time he ever came in that barber shop. Hey, we have just as much a right to stand up for Jesus as the world does to curse him. Amen. We're not wallflowers. We're not pansies. We're not sissies. Jesus died on a cross before God and man for all my sins. Oh, how blessed we are. So use what you have. Use what you have. There's something you have that can be a blessing. And you know, there's a third thing that comes into that. Give it your very best. Nothing has ever really worked for me that I didn't give it everything I had. And I may not have given it perfectly, but I did the best that I knew how to do. I know when God dealt with us about starting the church, and when we started, we found a building. They said it won't work, but it did. And they said, you can't convert that into a church, but we did. And they said, this won't work and that won't work. I just didn't know that anything would not work, because we were doing what God said to do. When you know you're doing what God said to do, you just know it's going to work. Amen. God's not a failure. God's not a quitter. Hallelujah. Just gave it my best. When we got the opportunity to move from a 200-seat chapel to a 2,000-seat auditorium, the former First Baptist Church that the tornado blew away downtown, I had people, church growth people, that came and said, it won't work, but it did, because God said it would. Because God said it would. Hallelujah. And then when everything fell apart, God gave us the location where we are right now. This is indeed a miracle church. Thank God for that. Give it your very best. We had to make decisions when the tornado took our church out, our school out, our Bible college out, our bookstore, our office. Everything we had was yellow taped. And all it took was 44 seconds of a Texas tornado to make that building unusable. And they said, you can't come back. But we did. By God's help. Every time I drive on this property, I say, our God is an awesome God. God brought us back. God did it. You've heard the story, but you'll hear it again. Praise God. But not today. Praise the Lord. Give it your very best. Give God your very best. You know, what a lot of people don't realize, you can't run a business on employees that don't come to work. Has anyone, any business person ever discovered that principle? You can't run a business on employees that don't come to work. An automobile dealership can't run an agency when there's no salesman around. You got to have people. God needs people. Churches need people. It's so important. I know we're busy, we're busy, we're busy. Oh, we're busy, busy, busy. But oh, we need to unbusy and say, what can we do to expand the kingdom of God? That's what it's all about. It's still only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And then there's another principle here. Constantly seek and speak God's help. It doesn't happen just because you're doing the right thing. It doesn't just happen because it needs to happen. It doesn't just happen because you'd like for it to happen. You need to constantly seek and speak God's help. And I tell you, a good place to go to practice on that is Mark the 11th chapter. Amen. Keep speaking to your mountain. Don't let your mountain speak to you. Speak to your mountain. Don't let impossibilities ruin your life. Don't let impossibilities keep you constantly under. Speak to your mountain. Tell them how big your God is. That our God is an awesome God. He's a good God. He's a big God. Constantly seek and speak God's help. Keep speaking to that mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the midst of the sea. Keep on believing. Amen. Thank God. Pray according to the word of God. Then continue to praise according to the word of God, that it shall come to pass. And continue to remind your own spirit that we serve a miracle-working God. Amen. And then just watch yourself making a difference where you are. It's so amazing, the single people, the one people, whether it's a man or a woman or a young man in the Word of God. I think of Esther. Esther had to come to a point to where her life was not her own. And she came to the point where she said, if I perish, I perish. But I've got to do what I've got to do. Got to do it. If I perish, I perish. What is my life? But however many years we spend here, our real life is for eternity. That's where we're going. Amen. Praise God. Make a difference where you work. I think of Noah, who made a difference in his generation. Hebrews 11. Every one of those in Hebrews 11 made a difference in the world in which they lived. I think of Abraham. What if Abraham had not listened to God or obeyed God or believed God, as Romans tells us he did concerning the revelation of even Jesus Christ back in the Old Testament? Abraham believed God. Oh, I tell you, Romans the 4th chapter ought to be daily reading for every believer. You say that about several portions of God's word. Yeah, I do. That'll keep you busy. That'll keep your mind from being negative. That'll keep you from quitting on your worst day or your first day. Amen. Constantly seek and speak God's help. God is working in my behalf. Mark 11, 22 through 24 gives us a beautiful example there. And then just watch making a difference in the world in which you live. Making a difference. I think of Saul. Boy, what a champion of the grace of God. A man that went around killing Christians for a living. Killing Christians for a living. And you'd think God would never have anything to do with him. But one day a light shined from heaven and a voice spoke from heaven. And a voice called Saul. And Saul humbled his heart before God and became one that wrote a goodly part of the New Testament. A champion of the grace of God who said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Don't let your past destroy your future. As I looked at the verse that we read, this woman who got it in her heart, I'm going to give to Jesus. And he said, wherever this gospel is going to be preached, this deed will be before them. Do you know that not every miracle that happened in the gospels is recorded in all four gospels? This miracle, or this gift, miraculous gift, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four talk about this woman. And you know what's interesting about this woman? She had a bit of a jaded past. But you know, God didn't care. I said, God didn't. Well, let me put it this way, because Calvary covers it all. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Don't let your past mistakes ruin the rest of your life, ruin your future. God will take you just as you are, just as you have been, and he will make you to be what he desires for you to be. There's a harvest of souls that need you. There's a harvest of souls somewhere in your vicinity that need you. Hallelujah. You know, it's really amazing, Brother Dan, how open people are to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It really is amazing. I know there are those that don't want to hear it, but there's so many that do want to hear it. Amen. And I'm still intrigued with the story of one of our soul winners who went downtown. We need to keep it before us. And we have not only an English, but a Spanish track or script to lead people. You can stand there and read the script. You say, that won't work. Oh, yeah, you came too late to tell us that, because it is working. And they were trying to talk to the woman. One speaks English, one speaks Spanish. They were having trouble communicating. They happened to have a Spanish track, gave it to the woman. She takes the track downtown Fort Worth and reads the track and gets herself saved. How about that, sports fans? Reads a track and gets herself saved. Reads the track, prays, sheds a few tears, and then the soul winners move on, and she moves on. They come back, I don't know, it was an hour or two later, and she's got a Hispanic crowd around her. The woman who just led herself to Jesus is now leading other people to Jesus. Think about it. Isn't God cool? I mean, God is so awesome. God is so awesome. Man. Just having the time of her life. She just got through leading herself to Jesus. Can you believe that? Now she's leading others. Praise be unto the Lord. You know, God's so desperate for help, he'll use even you. I don't mean that sarcastically. Maybe a little bit, but not completely. I mean, God needs help so much. God needs witnesses. God needs people to help in the end time harvest. And he'll use every one of us in this room today. He will use every one of us in this room today to make a difference, to make a difference. Yes, Jesus heals, and thank God for that. Yes, Jesus is a miracle worker. We thank God for that. Yes, Jesus desires to bless you and prosper you as your soul prospers. Yes, for that. But the first step is let everyone you come in contact with possible know that you must be born again and know the joy of leading them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then such a deal. He gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do it. We don't have to do it in our own strength, but we do it through the strength of God. How good a deal is that? Wow. He doesn't just say, you ought to do this, you old ugly thing. No, he says, I'll save you, forgive you of your past, and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now help me win someone else just like you. Help me win someone else just like you. Help me. God, I know you said, well, is that God needs help. He can do it without you, but why does he have to? Oh, hallelujah. You know, I believe there is total communication in this room this morning. I don't know when I've ever preached that I just felt the joy of the Holy Spirit, just like rain on dry soil. You can do it. You have a story to tell. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher or a theologian. Just tell people what Jesus has done for you. Pray with them and pray for them and watch God change their lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are so many miracle stories around this church that don't always surface, but I've had more of those come to the surface lately. You know, I've been hanging out around Calvary for some time, and what I've heard, the gospel I've heard, has blessed me. Our marriage is stronger. Our money is stronger. Our purpose in life is more focused and directed. I used to feel bad about myself. I never thought I could be a winner. I thought I was a loser, but I heard that God loves me and God has a good plan for my life. Hallelujah. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You can live for God and have fun at the same time. How good is that? Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Well, she came and that alabaster box was all she had. It was the best thing she had. And she was willing to give that very precious ointment to Jesus and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And, you know, I don't ever remember reading. I was just reading this week for this message. And do you know there were several women? You know, you think of the average evangelist. They have men, of course, that help them and support them. Billy Graham had a lot of course, men and women. But there were some women who had some wealth out of whom Jesus had cast devils. And it seems from what I can understand from Scripture, they might have been ladies of the night until the gospel came to them. So women who were living in the dark shadows came to Jesus and their life took on self-worth. And evidently, their being around Jesus taught them how to handle finances. And they found out that you can give to God and be blessed of God at the same time. And they help support the ministry of Jesus. Wow. I won't go any further, but you can just let your spirit get a hold of that. How awesome that is. So the thing that I want to just share with us as we bring these thoughts to a close, God needs every one of us. He doesn't need just preachers. He doesn't need just teachers. He doesn't need just singers. And there's no such a thing as just, but he needs every one of us. You know, I think of Joseph. Man, He could have done anything he wanted to do, and no one would have known the difference. He's away from home. He's away from authority. He's had a bad deal. He's been rejected by his family. I mean, you talk about a sad story. Joseph's life. Man, I wouldn't have wanted to counsel that guy. Man, too much baggage. Dear Lord, how would you ever unclutter the past of Joseph's life? But you know what? Joseph just kept loving God. And he realized that I may be in the pit, but I'm getting ready to go to the palace. Hallelujah. Life may be on top of me, but I'm going to be on top of life. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Wouldn't you have loved to have been in that emotion-packed room when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers who put him in the pit? And Joseph had to go to the next room and get his crying over with, because he'd forgiven them a long time ago. And here he turned, the man who was so wronged turned out to be the savior of the whole bunch. Hey, you say, I've had such a bad deal in life. Hey, are you ready to get back on top? Are you ready for God to promote you, exalt you? Forgive, forget, move on down the road. Just leave all those spirits of offense behind you. And just say, it's just Jesus and me. Hallelujah. It's hard to find the exit on this one. Amen. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you for people that are hungry for the word. And I thank you, Lord, for a truth that we've preached today of a woman who gave her very best to Jesus, and Jesus gave his very best to her. Father, I pray today that we'll just take on new purpose in our lives, that we won't let the past get us down. We'll not spend the rest of our life grieving over some kind of rejection. Maybe it was a divorce or parents or friends or relatives that didn't understand us, or maybe we got fired on a job, had a bad deal. Lord, we just reach out and take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus today and say, we're going forward. We're going all the way with Jesus in his precious, precious name. Amen and amen. God, I thank you. I thank you with all my heart. You know, I didn't know we would bring this out this late in the message, but I just felt like God's been with all of it. You know, God's given us such a great summer. God's given us a great, souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. Bible college people have been taught the word of God. You know, there's been so many things. Radio broadcasts gone out, and just been so many ways that we've reached out. Even we still have people out on vacation at this point. But you know what? I just ask God today, and we've had a couple of miracle Sundays. We need another miracle, financial miracle Sunday today. And I just want you to ask God what he would have you to do, and help us just to pull out of this summer with the financial blessing of God on all that we're doing. We haven't cut back on what we've been doing for God this summer. Would you just bow and ask God what he would have you to do? And there's no condemnation, but I just believe God's going to speak to some hearts to do something very substantial. And just let this be not only a great day for preaching and receiving the word, but just to see the word of God just take a giant leap. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the people who have heard the word. I thank you, Lord, for your presence today in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that things are as good as they are. And I believe they're getting better every day. I thank you, Lord, that we're seeing so many positive changes in our nation. And I believe, Father, that we're going to see spiritual revival in America from coast to coast and border to border. Oh, Father, we pray for this land. God bless America. God help America. God bring spiritual revival to America. Help every one of us to be a part of the end time moving of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for just letting God speak to your heart, being a part of just a miracle offering this summer. Amen. Thank you so much. Shouting is in order while you give. Amen. God bless America. Tonight at 6:30. Healing miracle service tonight at 6:30.